So I was digging through the Copyblogger archive this morning, and I found the 179-page business plan you wrote up in back in 2005. I was surprised to find the original idea for Copyblogger was to build a knitting site.
Nice.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From copyblogger.com.
Hey, everybody out there. This is Robert Bruce. Welcome to another episode. What episode are we on? Is this 13?
I don't know. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. Whatever it is, it's Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. I'm here with Brian Clark, the founder and CEO of Copyblogger Media. Brian, what's going on down there today?
It's all good, I guess. You know, I can't complain.
I got 3 inches of snow up here.
Well, that's what you get for making fun of the rest of us earlier in the year when you were gloating that it was sunny in Portland.
I was merely reporting the weather. I don't gloat. I don't do that. I don't know what gave you that impression, but I was merely reporting the weather as I found it.
My mistake.
Okay, what I want to talk about today is business plans. This is a big deal for anybody who's thinking of starting a business. For some who have been doing their business for the last 5 years and haven't written a business plan, some people are for it, some are against it. Opinions all over the map. What do you think about business plans generally?
Never written one. And, you know, let me qualify that by saying if you are starting a business that requires a bank loan or investors, typically they're going to want to see a business plan. Now, the bank may pore over your fake financials that you dream up in order to qualify the loan. But, you know, if you're starting a restaurant, something like that, yeah, you actually have some reasonable idea of projections based on some real-world stuff. The kind of businesses that I start and that a lot of people are starting now, which are basically 100% powered by online marketing, if not existing completely online, it's a little bit different. Doing a business plan is not really helpful, and you generally don't need any outside money in order to get rolling. Now, that's not to say that you don't do business planning. I'm just saying you don't write the traditional business plan.
And just to be clear, that's because you're talking about online businesses. You're talking about, you know, costs are much lower. You know, you're looking at hosting, buying a domain, and then sweat equity, right?
Yeah. So the costs, you know, outside of your time and labor, which are really the big things, are minimal. And the returns, I mean, sitting down and doing financial projections before you have an audience or reach or influence or anything is really just kind of a waste of time. And you're just kind of setting yourself up to, you know, stay on a path that you've imagined instead of observing the road you're actually on.
There's a lot of complaining that goes on when thinking about and talking about business plans. I mean, you can write the longest thing that you can imagine. And a lot of people recommend, you know, pages and pages and pages of information. Like you say, if you're going for, you know, a loan or venture capital, that's a necessary evil. But is there a simpler way to think about this stuff for the person who is doing what you're doing? What are the basic elements that need to be there?
Yeah. So, you know, let me make myself very clear, you know, because you'll see a lot of people that say, don't write a business plan, you know, chuck the business plan out the window. And I'm afraid, especially online, that a lot of people go too far to the other extreme, which is, you know, they just start and they don't have a clue who they're talking to, what they're trying to accomplish, what the market looks like, what expenses might they face down the road, what partnership scenarios might they need to get involved with, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So when I say I've never written a business plan, let me also say that I am an insane researcher before I launch any product, much less an entire business. So, yeah, we should probably kind of break this down for people so that they understand a process that you do go through, because there's a lot of, again, business planning without the traditional business plan.
Yeah, let's look at a couple of things. I've got a list of about five things here, starting with who's the customer?
Yeah, this is the key. This is the starting place, and it's the essential thing, because you have to know who they are before you can even answer any of the other necessary questions in smart online business planning. So, you know, who are you talking to? We talk about, in a second, we'll talk about how you find people and how you attract people. But how can you possibly attract people if you have no idea who it is that you're trying to speak to? Now, I will say that sometimes you attract a slightly different crowd than you intended, and that's kind of comes with being a human being, right? You know, the way that you communicate with people resonates with some and not others, and that's also very important to pay attention to. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So, but you have to have a very general idea of what the type of person you're looking to attract looks like, thinks like, what's their worldview, what's important to them, who do they admire, what are their dreams, all this kind of stuff. And you start with them. Most of us start with us, right? Yeah. And that's not necessarily a terrible thing, but you can only start with you to the extent that you are the market, you are the customer. If you do that, which I recommend highly, it's a lot easier to get your head around who you want to talk to, because they're like you. But with a big grain of salt, you need to go out there and do some serious research, spend some serious time, because the biggest mistake you can make is assuming that your personal preferences are identical to the broader audience.
Okay, so that leads us perfectly into the next idea, which is how are they going to find us? You found the customer, what you hope is you know, the perfect customer, if such a thing exists. The next step is, how are they going to find us? And I want to ask you specifically, you talked about doing that research. How does that also fit into this, this idea of how they're going to be able to find what we're offering?
Well, the key to find, you know, to figuring out how they're going to find you is by you first finding them. So that's why, again, who the customer is number one for everything. So really what you have to do, instead of thinking firstly about how they're going to find you, is you have to go find them. Where do they hang out online? You know, are they Twitter people? Are they Facebook people? Do they hang out on Hacker News? This is very important because to answer your specific question, you're going to find them by attracting them. You're not going to hunt them down and interrupt them. That's not smart marketing online. It's not effective, basically. So you want them to come to you, and you use content to attract them. That's what content marketing is all about. Remember, you provide valuable free information, and you attract an audience over time that raises their hand and pays attention to you, and then you sell them something related. So that's the key. Where are they? What blogs, what news sites, what forums, what social networks? Because that's where you're going to have to go hang out with them. And again, if you are the customer, if you are the market, then you have a pretty good idea of that, right?
Yeah, where those places are. What if you have no clue what you want to or should be selling?
Actually, I mean, everyone thinks that that is such a problem, and I am of the viewpoint that that is a blessing. Now, you know, hear me out, but there's various scenarios here. So, for example, when I started the online real estate brokerage back in 2002, end of 2001, around that time, I knew what I was selling, quote unquote, which is real estate. You don't really sell real estate. People buy real estate and you're there to facilitate, right? And that's an important mindset all in itself. But you know from a transactional standpoint what you're doing. There's an entire industry around the brokerage of real estate, right? So there I had to figure out how to be unique, how to, you know, what's my strategy for attracting people with content of various types. You know, it's really an exercise in positioning and getting it done. But if you start out with, okay, I want to speak to this type of person and I'm going to do that with valuable content, and they're going to tell me, you know, through the process of even, it's like research in motion, right? You are living day to day with these people. You are serving them with information and education, and they will reveal to you through the course of, you know, building an audience and listening to them, but also just doing your day to day research out there in social media to figure out what's going on and what people are talking about and what's the pain and what's the problems and how can I provide a solution, you'll figure out what to sell. So sometimes not knowing what you're going to sell is a blessing. And that's how I started with Copyblogger. I knew what I wanted to talk about and to whom. And I knew there's a market for those type of people. They buy stuff, they need stuff, they have problems, they have pain. And over the course of 5 years, it all revealed itself. And in fact, a major new product at least once a year.
Let me backtrack just a second, because this is fascinating to me. When, okay, say we're whatever, 3, 4, 6 months into Copyblogger, what kinds of places were you hanging out? Where were you finding people for Copyblogger?
Well, it's interesting because I ended up becoming essentially a teacher of, you know, the things we talk about on Copyblogger by first being a student, right? You know, I was self-taught in copywriting and had been online religiously since 94. So I'm learning everything I can every day. I'm still doing that, right? So as a lifelong learner, as a student, you become a better teacher. And I don't think I'll ever have an attitude where, you know, I'm there or I'm better or anything, because it's just not the case. If you're not trying to get better, if you're not a lifelong learner, you're going to fall behind sooner or later. Someone will come along and pass you up. They may anyway, you know. So, but by being the market, you know, I'm essentially, I consider myself to be the Copyblogger target reader, except that I'm just a little bit a step ahead to a degree in where I'm at compared to someone else who's on the path, and or someone who's even more experienced than me might benefit from a perspective that I have because of the intersection of, you know, my online knowledge, which is very deep. That's really the issue there. It's the intersection between, you know, living online and traditional copywriting, right?
Okay. How about a nuts and bolts one? How are another thing to think about in this kind of simple business plan idea is how are expenses going to be paid?
Yeah. I mean, again, and we touched on this, that if you, even with the real estate business, you know, we didn't have it. I didn't have an office. I didn't have anything. I didn't pay it for anything. I had websites, right? I had a hosting account that allowed me multiple domains, and I was able to build a whole business out of that. Now, of course, as you get rolling and you start working with people that, you know, handle the growth and, you know, you need basic stuff, then you start having expenses, but it all came out of revenue, right? So that's the wonderful thing about, you know, building online and also waiting until you actually, you know, growth and revenue require you to spend money, but it's okay because you have money that's coming in, right? But, you know, sometimes that's not always the case. So you know that I'm big on partnering. So I started Coffee Blogger with no money. I spent $1,000 in the first year on a design. That was it. Hmm. And hosting costs, which at the beginning were nothing. Now they're a little bit more substantial. We have a little bit more traffic. But yeah, so there was really no out-of-pocket. There was no VC. There was no angel. There's no nothing. And now we have a multi-million dollar business. But that's because I started with the audience. And then when it came time to develop products, I partnered with people who could do things that I could not do alone. So really, from that mindset, expenses become, you know, what am I willing to share with someone else in order to bring something to market? For example, I can't code software, but you can partner with people who do, and then you have a software product, and everyone's happy because you've got the audience, you're the marketer, and they have the expertise that you need. So it really comes down to it to a certain degree is, okay, what's my model? If I've got some cash and I don't want to partner with people, then you're going to contract, right? You're going to do the independent contractor route, which people like Tim Ferriss is a big advocate of. Nothing wrong with that, just not my style.
Okay, so final element here. We've figured out who the customer is. We've developed some kind of strategy or plan for how they're going to find us. Eventually, you know, not right off the bat, maybe, but generally not right off the bat, we've got an idea of what the product's going to be, how we're going to pay these expenses, initial, you know, startup costs, which are very minimal in this model anyway. The final thing that looks back on all of this and wraps it up is how are we going to execute on this plan?
Right. So when you've gone through this step by step process, and this is actually one of the lessons in our 20-part Internet Marketing for Smart People course, where Sonia basically holds your feet to the fire and says, answer these questions, and you will, you know, when you come to the end of it, you'll know, right? And so it's like it's business planning as opposed to some ridiculous templated, formatted business plan that no one's ever going to read unless you need a loan. Even the VCs don't read business plans. Dirty little secret there. They'll read the executive summary. If you don't catch them there, it's over.
Copywriting, anyway, right?
It's copywriting, absolutely. You got to have a very compelling so-called elevator pitch in writing. But, okay, so when you get to the execution phase, by going through the step-by-steps, who are they? Who are the people that I'm trying to serve? And, you know, all the very where are they, therefore, which is the flip side of how will they find me? Then you know what to do. So, you know, if you're doing anything, for example, related to general technology, and you – let's use TechCrunch as an example. They wanted, you know, in addition to advertising, they did a conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was one of their products. And of course, to reach that type of the type of person who goes to technology conferences, especially startup conferences, where are you going to go? Well, you know, Arrington was always hitting the usual tech aggregator sites like TechMeme, right? These days, depending on how sophisticated your technology or cutting edge to a degree as a market, you're going to want to resonate content-wise with the Hacker News crowd, right? You're going to want those very smart and very snarky people to find what you're writing about to stand up to scrutiny, right? And that's how you win people over and you build an audience. That's an easy example in one sense because the outlets for technology-related news are so huge and diverse. On the flip side is, you know, when's the last time you saw anyone have a unique voice in that space? And that's the problem. It's all Me Too stuff. So execution is about being unique and attractive within the online places that your people are hanging out, and therefore you can attract them directly. They can share your stuff, and then you're off and running. But that's really what it is. Once you go through these steps and figure out who you're talking to and where they're at and all this kind of stuff, and what resources do you need, execution is about reaching out, producing content, being a member of the market, being a member of the communities. And if you're hitting the mark, you're off to the races right there. It's the most incredible free way to build a business I've ever seen. No advertising, no nothing. You do have to put in the time to write, or you need to partner with someone who can write, or you need to hire someone who can write. You know what I'm saying? And that's where the expense thing comes in, which is, what do I need to get it done? Am I the content person, or do I need someone else because I'm the business guy and I've got the product or whatever the scenario? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I always wondered why when I just write what I wanted to write, it didn't work out so well.
Sometimes it can. You know, I mean, honestly, those are actually the worst cases. Like people who just naturally what they want to write about is exactly what a huge audience wants to hear.
Yeah.
Because they don't realize how lucky they got. Right. You know, and so they're just like, oh, just follow your passion and it'll all happen. Well, there are so many multitudes of cases that show that that was an exception, not the rule. But, you know, I think it's important to be into what you're doing, you know, I mean, because you're not going to keep going if you don't have passion for it. But you just got to marry your passion with being a valuable asset to others. And if you can do that, you've got the best of both worlds.
Is Copyblogger anywhere near now, not size, not revenue, not goals necessarily, but does it look like anything that you had originally planned?
Oh, it's exceeded my greatest expectations.
would you be willing to let us in on what did you, in your wildest thought, what did you think it might do success-wise or do for you?
Well, okay, so when I started out, I knew, you know, I wanted to write about this, and I knew what the type of person was that needed this kind of information. So, you know, I went through the process, and it didn't happen overnight. Sometimes it feels that way because I had an idea, and I was able to start executing within a month. But I had spent so much time being that person. Right? So much time struggling to learn from the late 90s when we didn't have all these free resources about online marketing. I didn't know anything. It was painful. You know, it took me 4 years between the time I quit my law firm job and started that real estate business, and it instantly took off. So that business was a 4-year overnight success.
Yeah.
You know, and then you do that for 3-4 years, and then, you know, you decide that you don't want to do that, and you're just not going to do stuff just for money that makes you unhappy. And then you come up with you commit to doing something, and then you have an idea. But the idea came from being part of that market the entire time. I'm not saying you can't go into a market that you're new to. You just have to do twice as much research. And I think if you find an affinity for a market you're not a member of, you'll end up becoming a member of it anyway, right? You'll just end up there because you get into it. And if you don't get into it, it's either a short-term thing or you are a cyborg.
Would you believe if you could show yourself 5 years ago what this is now, would you believe that it would have happened that way or could have happened?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was I'm an optimistic person. I'm just saying it's gone rather well. So.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's get out of here for the week. This crazy launch madness is coming together for the new product. And what's going on there? Can you give us an update?
Yeah, all I can say is, again, you know, we have an entire lesson devoted to what we've talked about today. It's a great exercise if you're finding yourself kind of floundering around. So, you know, sign up for the free course, if only for that. But yeah, the great initial deal on premise will be only for people that are on the Internet Marketing for Smart People list. And we're doing that on purpose because we like to do favors for those particular people, because we feel like, you know, by getting involved and taking the 20-part thing, that your chances of success are actually greater. And if you use our software in conjunction with that, then you're going to get better results, and then you might say nice things about us, which we really love.
Brian, I'm gonna go get some lunch. What do you got the rest of the day?
Oh, you know, it's 3:36 here today, so we're at the half mark, I guess, right?
Yeah, half. Yeah. I'm done by 3:30.
You really shouldn't tell me that right now.
No, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From copyblogger.com.